Can I get my glasses, sweetie? And so, here, I'll use these ones. So the anointing. It says in Exodus 30, verse 22 to 25, before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. God, I come before you, Father, knowing, Lord, that you've placed something in me to give out. So, Father, I pray we have an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying. That in this last day, Father, you'll develop your church to live and walk an anointed life. That, Father, the world will not just hear, but they will see, Father, a man and a woman full of the fire and the purpose of God. Lord, not just full of the fire and the purpose, but full of the signs and the wonders of heaven. We ask in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need the Holy Spirit, Father. God, we say sorry this morning for even trying to live that life without him. This morning we say, Father, we need your Holy Spirit. So God, this morning, grant it this morning, we pray. Minister through me in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in Exodus 30, 22 to 25, it says, Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Also take for yourselves quality spices, 500 shekels, liquid myrrh. And we went through the myrrh already, but I want you to notice there was a number put to it. There was 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much as sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, and according to the shekel of the sanctuary, a hin, something roughly around about 25 liters of oil, a hin of olive oil, not just any oil, olive oil, amen, olive oil. So we spoke last week what myrrh speaks of. Myrrh speaks of meekness and submission. Meekness and submission. Amen. We sung a song this morning about the lion and the lamb. And in Revelations, it talks about the lion and the lamb. Amen. It says, Behold the lion. And all of a sudden, when he came out, they saw the lamb. Amen. It's a fantastic picture of Jesus, God manifest in the flesh. Jesus being able to be the lion, but in meekness, he becomes the lamb. He's the God of control. Amen. He showed meekness when he washed the disciples' feet. God manifest in the flesh. God that created them with his own hands, these people with his own hands, yet with the same hands could wash their feet. Meekness. Amen. The next one we spoke about was cinnamon. Cinnamon speaks of uprightness. Grows 10 to 15 meters tall, the cinnamon tree. Straight up, very rarely does it bend or bow, a bow. Not bow, but bow. Bend or bow. Cinnamon. Grows straight up. Speaks of uprightness, an uprightness walk. Having an uprightness. If you want to live an anointed lifestyle, you have to walk uprightly. In other words, let your yes be yes, let your no be no, and do not change because of people's faces, but live out what is placed within you. Amen? Be upright. Be upright in your dealings. That's it. Integrity. Character. Amen. These two witnesses will speak on your behalf even when you're not around. When you're gone and you might be in another room or you might be in another country, your character and your integrity are consistently speaking on your behalf. Amen. You will be either known by your word is true, and when you say something, you'll do it, or you'll be saying, don't ask them, they never do it. So we need to be men and women of character, men and women of integrity, men and women that will walk uprightly, not for the sake of looking righteous, because our righteousness is like filthy rags to his feet, but we walk in the integrity of the Spirit, and it's his righteousness on display. Amen? His righteousness, meekness, submission, self-control. All the things of the Spirit. We're going to go on out to the third one. The third one. That's the fourth one, David. Go back. Third ingredient of the anointed life is a sweet-smelling cane. Sweet-smelling cane. This cane, or calamus, was a reed that grew in swamps. Reeds in the swamp. Amen? and its head would fill with oil, and when it was filled with oil, it would bend over. It would bend over. Here's the dilemma. Why does God say, like the calamus, why did he want the calamus oil? Because a swamp has no flow. It's stagnant. So when things are stagnant in my life, when there's no flow in my life, when I don't see anything happening in my life, he still expects me to bear fruit. Can I have an amen? He still wants the oil to flow in your life. Even when all your surroundings don't speak life, he wants you to bring forth life. Amen? And what happens is in the midst of the swamp, the calamus head, what it does, the reed, it bows down because of the weight of the oil in the head. Humility. Humility. He wants me to be humble in the midst of my trial and my whatever I'm going through, my hour of need. He wants me to stay humble. Humility. God honors humility. In fact, God will anoint the humble. He will anoint you in your humbleness. God will anoint if he sees it on your life. If he sees meekness, submission. Now the next one, humility on your life. Then it attracts the anointing of God for your life. Amen. What is the opposite of humble? Pride. God will says pride is an abomination before him. In fact, he says even the look of pride, he will wipe it off your face. Just the look. He hates pride. It was pride that caused Satan to fall from heaven. The five I wills in the book of Isaiah. It was the pride that causes man to say, resist God. It was pride that stopped Israel from entering into the fullness of the promises of God. Pride. It's the third dimension. Pride. 1 John says there's three things upon this earth that remain. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and what? The pride of life. The pride of life, the third dimension, the power dimension. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Outer court, inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's the third dimension, yet it's the hidden dimension. Because you can be pious on the outside, yet be full of pride on the inside. We can be like the Pharisees, that with a Pharisaical attitude, having all this outward garment of niceties and saying the right things and praising the Lord and da-da-da-da, but have this pride of rebellion inside of our soul that can stop me. In fact, God will not even commune with that. He'll wipe it out. In fact, I've said this to my wife many times. God will allow you to be embarrassed to humble you if you keep walking in pride. He would rather save your soul than save your reputation. Just ask all the generals that are falling right now. He would rather embarrass you. He would rather bring your sin to the surface so he can say, deal with this. James 1 and 2 says this. And when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. But in any conceiving, there has to be a gestation. Yes? As a woman conceives, when my wife said to me, in our day, you didn't have to wait 12 weeks. You just told your husband, I'm pregnant. Then the husband goes, okay, I have to work a bit harder. But it wasn't a 12-week thing. So I had to take her word at that. I'm pregnant. Sure, I couldn't see it. She wasn't showing anything. I just had to believe it. She's pregnant. Then eventually, it grows. It's the same as sin. There's a gestation. There's a gestation in sin. Usually because I've been attracted to it because of my own weakness within me. I said last week, sin is a what? Sin is a choice. Hear me, sin is a choice. So what happens then, you go through the trimesters, even in sin. You go through your gestation times. God is covering you. God is covering you. God is covering you. Grace, grace. He's giving you grace, grace for a period of time. Grace. But then all of a sudden, people around you see things are changing in you. oh, they're not in fellowship. Oh, the way they talk is different. They're not communicating. They're just acting wrong. They're acting different. Something's not right. Ever had that feeling? Something's just not right. Something's not right. Then all of a sudden it says, then birth pangs come in suddenly. If they don't deal with what's hidden by the grace of God quickly, God will expose it for what it is. In fact, he says this, I will shout your sin from the rooftop. And he will expose their sin to save their soul. God doesn't mind embarrassing us at all. He chastens those whom he loves. So he will embarrass you and embarrass me just to keep me on the right path. Amen? He doesn't cause me to sin, but he will certainly use any situation to get me right. Humility attracts the anointing. Jesus demonstrated humility in John 13, verse 5. It says this, after that he poured out into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which they were girded. May I say this? Your title doesn't make the man. The man makes the title. Amen? You can call me an electrician, which I am. You can call me an electrician. But until I can work as an electrician, I'm an electrician by name. Yeah, I'm not a very bright spark. That's right. Thanks a lot, Noel. Appreciate that. Jesus washed the dirty feet of his disciples, our God who was manifest in the flesh. The same hands that molded creation is the same hands that washed the disciples' feet. Think of that humility. I'm talking about your God, my God, could lower himself. Amen? Lower himself to wash the disciples' feet. Humility is the honest recognition. This is what humility literally means. It's the honest recognition of our own worth. Our worth as God sees us. It is a delicate balance between humbly recognizing our lack and our weaknesses, yet knowing how much God loves us and valuing us at the same time. So therefore, with this exchange happening within you and I, what happens is I don't seek the things of God. I seek God. I want to fall in love with God. I don't want to fall in just in love with his things. I want to follow God for who he is. I want to love on Jesus for who he is. Amen. I want relationship with Jesus, not just his giftings and not just his blessings. I want to know Jesus. I want to be in fellowship with the Father. Amen. And all these other things shall be added unto me. So therefore, it's this craving, this desire, this exchange is happening. Though when I know my righteousness is like filthy rags to his feet, therefore now he clothes me afresh and gives me a fresh garment, and I'm now clothed in his righteousness. So therefore, it keeps me meek. It keeps me humble before my Lord. Amen? This humility attracts the anointing. I just said it a minute ago in Revelations. Behold, the Lion of the Lamb of the tribe of Judah. And everyone started shouting in heaven, started shouting and praising the Lord. And it says, and out he came, the Lamb. They didn't see the Lion. They saw the Lamb. He's only the Lion to the enemy. He's the Lamb to you and I. Amen? Meekness under control. Humility. 1 Chronicles 17 verse 16 says this. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, Lord, our God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? Who am I, Lord? We've got to get that place in our understanding that we are nothing without him. We are absolutely nothing without him. Matthew 18 and 4 says this, so anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Humility. Humility. Humility will allow you to serve someone else and not promote oneself. Because you're so secure in who you are in him. You so have such a knowledge of how much you're loved by him. And this is one of the greatest revelations that's ever been given in my life. I've had this revelation years ago, and he said this to me. I said, oh, Lord, I just want to say how much I love you, and I know you love me. And he says, I can't love you any more than I love you. I'm going to say that again. Our God cannot love you. You cannot do anything to win more of God's love. He loves you endlessly. He loves you without any qualms or qualifications. He loves you. Get a revelation of how secure you can be in that Father's love. Amen. Therefore, I don't need to self-promote. Therefore, I don't need to vindicate. Therefore, I don't need to justify. Because if my God is for me, therefore, you can now walk in the thing that we, a lot of people, especially in the world, crave for. This little thing called peace. Peace. See, peace comes because of an assurance. I have peace. Peace comes because I have an understanding of who I am in Christ. Where I stand in Christ. And when I screw up, I shouldn't have said that word, when I muck up, I have an advocate that I can run to, unashamed, unabashed, naked before him, because he already knows everything. Say, God, I've mucked up. God, I've done this, I've done that. And being totally honest with him. Oh, we won't go there yet. Being totally honest with him to a point that you want to give him everything that is in your heart to him, warts and all. Because so often we've made repentance a facade. Because we can say it on the outside, but there's been a heart change on the inside. And all I've done is been a Pharisee. Exactly what Jesus said about them. Their Pharisaical attitudes. He said, let them alone, for with an ear they hear, but their what? Their heart is far from me. Repentance is not words. Repentance is an action of my heart. Repentance is when my heart is rent before him and say, God, break up the fallow ground in my heart. Lord, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. There is something in our hearts that God needs to change consistently. And I've got to allow him to get into the depths of my heart. Otherwise, what I'm doing is I'm playing church and playing Christian. And we use this word very lightly and very loosely. Oh, well, his grace will cover me. Let's just stop right there. God is not a God of sleazy grace. Repentance will cost you something. And the Bible says this, actually. It says this in James, I believe. Bear the fruits of repentance. There has to be fruitfulness out of it. Amen? Repentance is the acknowledgement of my wrong. Repentance is saying, Lord, I give you license to come into my heart and change me. I can't change myself. God, I need the Holy Ghost. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to change me from the inside out. And it starts with my heart. Amen. Titus 3 says this, to speak evil of no one, but be peaceable, gentle, showing how much? All humility. All humility to all men, not just Christians. All men. Mark 10. 45, for even when the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? Humility. Humility. Proverbs 10, 13 and 10 says this, by pride comes nothing but strife. But the well-advised, says those, I've written that there, those who are humble enough to take advice, the well-advised, those who are humble enough to take advice is wisdom. You know, one of the greatest challenges of me as a pastor is when I give someone advice, and they look at you, and I'm thinking, they ain't taking it. They ain't taking it. And here, this is what they usually say, yeah, but. Yeah, but. And I used to say this to my wife. I don't say it anymore because she's so good. I said, there's only one animal in the Bible that butts. That's a goat. He's going to separate the sheep from the? He is. Be a sheep, love. Disagree with the Holy Ghost. Disagree with him. Shall I tell you why? Because he's never wrong. God is never, ever, ever, ever wrong. So when there's a dissension between you and God, you're wrong. I know that's hard to take, and it might be tickling your pride right now, but it's the truth. You are wrong. Amen? Humility was the answer to the previous question when he said, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? Lord, tell us, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? The answer was, he who humbles himself like a little child. Who's the greatest? Those who humble themselves. Psalm 84 and 10 says this, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of the wicked. One day in your courts, just one, is enough for me. Humility demonstrated is like an act of washing people's feet. It causes you to do and be able to do what you need to do. Washing the saints' feet, we don't usually do that anymore. Yet in my day, in my early days, we used to do it a lot. Great. God bless them. But washing their feet is not so much because they're dirty. It was a tradition in the old Jewish ways that when someone came into your house, you gave them water. They took off their sandals. You gave them water to wash their feet. But if you wanted to honor them, you would wash their feet. Amen. So when someone's washing someone's feet, it's an act of humility and honor. Humility and honor. So when I'm humbling myself before anyone, it's like washing their feet. It's saying, I honor you. I cherish you. I welcome you. Amen? Humility is an act of washing people's feet by serving them, like serving at the door. Like going to life group. Like helping in the cafe. Like helping someone in need when you just hear about it. Not expecting a reward. And not promoting one's own need, name above anyone else's name. For what you do in secret, he shall reward you openly. Humility attracts the anointing of God. You want to walk an anointed lifestyle or a life? Walk humbly. Walk humbly. The fourth ingredient to an anointed life, which is going to be a big one. So fasten your seatbelts. Is inner cleansing. Inner cleansing. Cassia. Cassia was the other herb that was asked to give up its oil. There's around 350 species of cassia. Cassia is called, one is called senna. Now, if you're as old as me, when we need to get certain things happening in our bodies, we'll go to the chemist and buy some senna. Don't look at me like that. It's true. You'll get some senna and it gives you an inner cleansing. Amen? Senna. Senna is the cleanser of the inside. But sometimes, just sometimes, we need to get an inner cleansing and get to the cross and take the stock and allow God to search me and try me. Search me, O God. The cry of David. Search me, O God. In fact, 2 Corinthians 13 and 5 says, test yourself, prove yourself, you're still in the faith. Search me, O God. He's not going to search on the outside. He's going to search on the inside. Search me and try me. Reveal anything wicked within me. Gain to the cross. Sometimes, just sometimes in our Christian walks, it's good to take stock of your life. Amen? It's good to see what is ruling and what is reigning in my heart. What am I allowing to sit on the throne of my heart? Who is the king in my heart? Is it money? Is it life? Is it lifestyle? or is it King Jesus? Who rules in my life? Do you know who rules in your life? That which you spend more time with. That's why hear my heart here this morning. Please hear me. This is no condemnation in Christ, but hear me. That's why these things, you better take stock. Facebook, take stock. Instagram, take stock. Because it can be a time waster. It can be addiction. All right? Sometimes we need to get the inner cleansing of the cross and take stock and allow God to search me. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this: examine yourselves as to whether you're still in the faith. Test yourself. Test yourself. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Inner cleansing at the foot of the cross attracts the anointing. When I'm testing myself, when I'm saying, God, change me. Change me. Change me. You know, I think God gets sick and tired of hearing Christians say this: God, can you just deal with them? God, can you just change them? God, can you change my situation? Oh, God, can you do this? Oh, God, can you do that? And all the time, God is looking to you and I and saying, everything you need is in you. Everything you require for this life resides within you. What you've got to do and I've got to do is pull it out. But if it's dammed up, if that river inside my belly is dammed up, I need to remove the dam. I need to unplug that thing and get those things out of my life that are restricting the flow of God within me. Amen? Psalm 51, 6-17. I'm going to read that. This is a psalm of David. When David realized his sin with Bathsheba, it's a penitence psalm. It's when he realized what had happened with him and Bathsheba. I'm going to read from verse 6. Behold, you desire truth in my inward, in my where? You desire truth in my, that's your heart. Okay? And in the hidden part of my heart, you will make me to know wisdom. You will make me to know wisdom. You will make me, quickly turn with to me to Matthew 15. You will make me to know wisdom. Can you get that for me, love? Matthew 15. Is that the Amplified? Oh, good. Matthew 15, 8. Can you turn over? Thanks, love. Says this: these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of men. And when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of his mouth. This defiles a man. Then his disciples came to him and said, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted, he will uproot. Let them alone. The blind are leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. With their ears, they hear, but their hearts are far from me. Yet David's cry was, search me, O God, in my inner parts, in my heart. They were Pharisees. They had position. They were the priesthood of the day. They knew the law. They could recite things. They knew all the commotion of what was happening in a temple. Yet their hearts were far from him. Purge me with hyssop. What is hyssop? Hyssop's a shrub. Hyssop literally means purification. It was used to remove stains. Purge me with hyssop. It was used in Leviticus 14. It was used as part of the cleansing of a leper. Hyssop. They had to pass a test and they had to be washed and cleansed with hyssop. Cleansed with hyssop. And once the priest had done that for 8 days and they were still clean, they were no longer a leper. And that's why he referred that to me. cleanse me with hyssop. He says, what he's saying is, my sin has made me like a leper. Purge me from this stain, and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than, hallelujah. His washing causes me to be whiter than snow. It's the washing of my heart when I come to a place of repentance. It's the washing of my heart when I realize I'm not walking in my own self-righteousness. It's the washing of my heart that I can walk in humility and meekness and uprightness. It's the constant washing of the word through my heart that keeps me in that place. But I've got to allow the Holy Ghost to get into the house long enough to get into that place of my heart to wash me. See, the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. Amen. The devil will want to keep you in that place of feeling condemned in your sin. But God has given us a way out through repentance to come before him and say, God, forgive me. And once you have done that, the Bible says this, your sin is as far as the east is to the west. It is gone. It is forgotten. That's because you know the Father loves you enough to do that. But if you're not secure in his love, guess what? I'll get condemned. And I'm thinking, well, I'm never going to be good enough. But your Father, my Father, wants me to repent and come before him with clean hands and a pure heart so he can flow the river in my life. That can touch others around you. That can minister to the broken. That can be those who are desperate for a touch can be touched. Then you can have a word of knowledge or a word of truth for them to be delivered. So you can speak, and you might even know what you're saying. You might even know what you're talking about. But God speaking through you to their situation. I remember I was on the train once, going to Fremantle. Remember the old orange trains, the big diesel trains? If you're less than 30, you won't remember it. I was on this train once. Got to Fremantle, there's a bloke in front of me. And he had his Air Force uniform on. Anyway, I got off the train. He's just sitting on the train. And all of a sudden, God said to me, go back and tell him I love him. So he's leaning against the window on the train. So I walked up to the window and I knocked. It was only me and him, so I didn't feel so foolish. Knocked on his window. I said, I just want to tell you something. I said, God loves you. Burst into tears. He was on his way to Fremantle to commit suicide. Burst into tears. He said, I just said to God, he was a believer. I had just said to God, God, does anyone really love me? So I just had finished saying that, and he knocked on my window. I remember another time this man had been praying. And it was 4 o'clock in the morning, because I used to get up very early, I still do, very early to go to work. So about 4:30, God said to me, ring this man now and tell him he's not the only one. I says, I'm not ringing that man to say he's not the only one. I don't understand what you're trying to say. Can you give me a bit more information? He says, just say that. So of course I rang him. I said, look, this might sound, of course we try and justify it, this might sound out of place. Just take it as you want to take it. See if it's the Lord. Put on the shelf. Or the, you know, there's no shelves in heaven. Put on the shelf. There's no shelves. Either you're right or you're wrong. No shelves. I said, just do what you want with it. I says, God's just told me to tell you, you're not the only one. He burst into tears. He said, I've just finished praying. He said, God, am I the only one that feels like this? He wants the river to flow. You might not understand what's coming out of you. But he wants you to be bold enough and have faith enough to just speak what you need to speak, because it means everything to them. Amen? But he needs that anointed life to keep flowing out of you and take the blockages out of you, pride, rebellion, and whatever it might be that's blocking us from the flow of God, because he wants to use his people in this hour to bring deliverance to the broken. Hallelujah. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Stop. The bones that the Lord broke. Do you know, such should be the weight of our sin, the guilt of our sin, that it bears down on me, that I can't stand having it, that I need to get rid of it, that I've got to get before him and cleanse me afresh. Because if I learn to live with it, it will stifle me. And that thing will grow in my life. Who understands sin as a root system? It has a root system. The book of James says this, and do not allow the root of what? Bitterness. Right? Come into your heart. It's a root system. So if you allow it in one area, that root system will eventually spread into other areas of your life. And you think, oh, it doesn't matter. No one knows. Who cares? But it is underground. See, roots grow underground. People don't see it. But there's a root system that's spreading out. And it wants to infiltrate other areas of your life so you just don't get bitter with this one. You'll get bitter with that one. Then you'll get bitter with this one. Then you look for like similar spirits. Who else is bitter? Who else is bitter? And then you're attracted to people of similar spirit. Then you have a good goss session. Oh, they didn't treat you right. Look at how they spoke about you. Yeah. What should we do? We'll pray. Pray that God wipes them out. Lord, do a Moses on them. Singe and burn them. Hide your face from my sins. Blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me. What's that word? Create. Let's start again. Create. Create in me. Line upon line. Create in me a clean heart. Oh God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Lord, don't let me be moved by my temptation. God, steadfast me. Standing, doing all to stand. Stand, therefore, stand. Hallelujah. Have the power of no to sin. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David's need and hunger for the presence of his God was greater than his sin. I can't live without Jesus. Hear me. If you're born again here this morning, you cannot live without Jesus. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Hallelujah. Go back to your first. Yeah. Get back to your first love. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Now he's turning around. Now the Spirit's turning it all around. Then I will teach my transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted. Now, God, I'm getting on the right path, and guess what I want to do? Tell them about the goodness of God. See, that's what repentance does. It renews your spirit. That's what repentance does. It gives you a joy because, you know, you can be naked before him, and he's dealt with it, and I don't have to carry it, and I don't have to be ashamed of it anymore, and I can start spreading the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ because what he's done for me, he can do for them. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Hallelujah. New Testament says it like this. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Our money doesn't impress God. You doing 1,000 jobs for God in the house of God doesn't impress God. Because really you should be doing it for people. Obedience. 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 Can I go on? Have we got time? Psalm 27, 3 and 8 says this. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, I will be confident. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he has hid me, and in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. For he shall set me high upon a rock. Who's the rock? Jesus. He'll set me high upon Christ. Doesn't matter what's happening. I can find refuge in his presence. And now my head shall be lifted up above. above my enemies, all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. And when you said, seek my face. Is that an invitation to us? Seek my face. My heart. What said? My heart. Not his mouth. My heart. My heart speaks. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Hallelujah. Malachi 3, 2 and 3 says this. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, the priesthood. 1 Peter says, or 2 Peter says this, you are a royal. You're not just a priesthood. You're not any priesthood. You're a royal priesthood. Like refiner's fire and launderer's soap, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them. He will what? Hello, priesthood. You better expect your God to do some what? Purging. He will purge them as gold and with silver. How do you purge gold and silver? Fire. Heat. Remember what he had to do with myrrh? And then he had to steam it with the heat to bring the change in the myrrh, to bring forth the tears of oil. He first had to wound it. They wound the tree. They cut it. Then tears of oil start pouring out of it, like teardrops. And they captivate them. And they go hard. And then he steams it, fire and heat. And it releases its oil and its fragrance through the fire and the heat. See, God never misses an opportunity to allow the fire and the heat to transform me in my life through whatever wound or whatever situation I've been in. And I know that I know that I know. No one's exempt from being wounded. Anyone not being wounded. Thank you, Jesus. We're all honest here this morning. But that's the truth. And sometimes our wounds cause tears. Revelation says he bottles every tear. Glory to God. Your tears are never wasted. And then all of a sudden, out of that pain of whatever it is, he will put the fire on it. And the fire is to change the oil, not to heal the wound. It's to change the oil. And all of a sudden, the oil gets changed. And out of your brokenness and wounded life, he brings forth a fragrance of Christ. Amen. A fragrance of God. That you've survived what you've went through and you've still got joy in your heart and you're still seeking the God that served you and loves on you. You can walk humbly before him. Fire is on for the inside. Yet he also wants to clean up the outside. The soap. The fullest soap. The fire to cleanse me from the path of my wooden hay and stubble of life. Earthly path in my soul. And refine the soap to cleanse me on the outside what affects and taints me. Those works that I shouldn't, those things that I shouldn't touch. Those things I shouldn't see. I know this all might sound a bit tough. And you've probably heard me say this before, and I'm going to say it again. You will not give up sin unless the love of God is greater than your love for your sin. The reason I'm sinning is because I want to do it. Sin is a choice. But when I have a love for God greater than my sin, I'll give it away. That's why David cried out that I may know you. Paul said it also, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. And what else? No. Power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his? Woo! We don't talk about that too much. We just want the first two. Oh, yeah, now I may know him. I want to know you. The power of your resurrection. Oh, I want the power. Give me the power. Then he puts this little thing in next to it. And the fellowship of his suffering. Are you prepared to pay the price for the oil? Our desire to live and walk out holiness attracts the anointing. Our desire to live out holiness attracts the anointing. I'm going to finish this because otherwise I'll go on next week. Fifth ingredient to walk in the life is olive oil. Olive oil. What has to happen to the olive oil to give out the oil? It's got to be crushed. It's first got to be set aside to get all the bitterness out of it. Washed. And keep washing until the bitterness comes out of the olive. Then all of a sudden it's got to be pressed. Crushed. Jesus was crushed in a garden called Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means crushing place. So what God has to do is crush them things in me to get out of me what is already placed within me. The oil was already in the olive. It just had to be processed right. Amen. There is no anointing without the Holy Spirit. You can have froth and you can have bubble and you can have Yahoo and you can shout amen. But there will be no anointing without the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a true anointing. Because Isaiah does warn us, I think it's Isaiah 61, does warn us that you can light your own fire. And exuberance sometimes is mistaken for the anointing. People getting revved up can be taken as, oh, they have an anointing. No. That's why Jesus said this, by their fruits, the cinnamon, the myrrh, cassia, by their fruits, you shall know them. When the pressure's on, what comes out? Oh, glory. Help me, Jesus. I feel a Psalm 51 coming on me. Help me, Jesus. Cleanse me. All the other four oils have to be added to the olive oil. It's what every other fragrant oil is put into. And the art of the perfumer, the one that does the mixing, he himself is the Holy Spirit. He knows how much hurt you can take. He knows how much you can stand. He knows how much humbleness you need. How much meekness has to be added. He knows all that and he mixes it. And he mixes it. And with his power, he uses everything he's done in you to bring forth an anointing. Amen. And I don't know about you, but in this hour, the church better get ready to walk in the power of the anointing of God. The world needs to see the anointing in place. It doesn't need to see a great band, it doesn't need to see a great host of things. What this world does need to see is the anointing of God. It wasn't until the anointing fell on the 120 did the world begin to change. It wasn't until the anointing fell on the 120 did they all stand up with one voice and declare the same thing about the goodness of God. Truly, the anointing of God brings a unity that man cannot have. It supersedes everything. We need the anointing. And it wasn't until the wind of the Spirit filled the whole house. He is looking for men and women that will say, Lord, here's my heart. Change me. And when he does, and when he sees that, there'll be a fresh wind flowing into our lives that will fill the whole house. And he will use no-name servants to do great things. He will use the ordinary to do the extraordinary. He will use the servants of God to do the great things of God. He's not looking for the next prophet, pastor, preacher, teacher, evangelist, apostle. He's looking for a servant. He's looking for a servant. I don't know about you, but I want the more of God. I want the more of God. It's going to cost. But hear me. In that place, there's so much joy. In that place is such life. In that place is such communion and unity. In that place is what touches the world to reveal Christ. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Five ingredients of anointed life: meekness, uprightness, humility, inner cleansing. And the last one I've titled is the refreshing of the Holy Ghost. He's never left us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave me. The issue is I leave him. A refreshing of the Holy Spirit that births a new hunger for our Lord and our God, seeking him for who he is, being ready to fulfill his heart's desires for the joy that is set before us. His heart's desires. Glory to God. Your God wants to be seated upon the throne of your heart. Not just on a Sunday. Every day. And when I pass over to glory, I want to hear these words. Well done, you good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's all I want to hear. I don't care about a four-story mansion. I don't care about if it's a three-bedroom, two-bedroom, one-bedroom. If I've got a tent. As long as I'm at that place where I hear the voice of my God. For I, like David said, I would rather be one day in the house of the Lord than 10,000, amen, in the world. If you want the Holy Ghost afresh, I shouldn't say it like that. If you want to experience the presence of the Holy Ghost afresh, he's already here. And if you're born again, he's already inside you. If you feel the flow blocked, out of your belly shall flow rivers of? Rivers, not streams. Not a puddle. A river. It's alive. River flows. It's full of life. If something's blocking the flow, and you know what it is, he knows what it is, and he's given you and I the gift of repentance. So God, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Change me from the inside out. If that's you this morning, you lift up your hands before your Father in heaven. This is between you and him. He's your Father. He's your God, but he's your Father. He's the lover of your soul. He's the one who loves you. Father, you see our hands raised this morning. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus, say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. I ask in the name of Jesus that God, your name would be exalted in my life. Change me. Heal me. Deliver me. Set me free. Father, I thank you that I can come before you naked and unashamed. I give you the praise and glory. I want to be the servant of the Most High God, bringing glory to your name and seeing this broken, dying world change for the name of Jesus. Anoint me afresh with your presence and your spirit. In Jesus' name. And if that's you this morning, you give him an amen. Amen.
When Dave was preaching there this morning, I was a testimony I'd like to share. I haven't even shared this with anyone. It only happened yesterday. I left home to go down to Bunnings to get 7 gas bottles and a fire pit. The fire pit was on display. I almost feel ashamed, actually, of some of the things that I'm about to say. But the fire pit was on display, and I got a very good discount on it. I put it in the back of my truck, and I went up to Spud Shed to get 7 gas bottles because Bunnings only had 2. Put the 7 gas bottles in the back of my truck. And went in to pay for them with no money. I left my wallet at Bunnings when I was getting the fire pit. I didn't take the gas bottles off. I just said to the lady, I'm coming in to pay for them. I drove down to Bunnings, picked up my wallet. And if anyone knows where Bunnings is, there's a big roundabout there. And I'm going around the roundabout. And you know what I'm thinking to myself? And I feel somewhat ashamed at that time. I was thinking to myself, you know what? I could get these gas bottles for free. Because I had them and I was gone. No one else in the truck, only me. The Holy Spirit said, go back up there and pay for them. And you know, that's a testimony that I've been a Christian a long time, that you think most Christians have been a Christian as long as me would be ashamed to admit. But isn't it amazing how he comes? The opportunity's there. We've been on the road a long time. But you know, when I went back up there, the greatest blessing was when this little Vietnamese girl was standing there and there's another guy at the till and he said, have you come in to pay for them gas bottles? I said, yes, I have. And this little lady just about, she just nearly cracked up because she was in so much strife. Because protocol is you should pay for them before you change them. And my vehicle was gone, and I was gone for a good 10, 15 minutes, and to her I wasn't coming back. But it's the Holy Spirit in your heart that says, you got to sleep tonight. And it's just amazing, isn't it? Even although you've been on the road a long time, how you can be tempted to do the wrong thing. And I'll be honest, I got that roundabout, and I was tempted. I feel ashamed of that, actually, but that's so it's when you're walking in the Spirit of God, there was no one in the car. I was in the car by myself. No one said, go back and pay for them. But you know.
Yeah, you do. Bless you, Robbie. Bless you, Rob. You know you've got a problem when you say, thank you, Jesus, for the free gas bottles. You know you've got a problem then. Amen. Don't come to me with that sort of testimony. Hallelujah. God's a good God. Gentlemen, we have a men's breakfast, 20th. See myself or Robbie before you leave. In Jesus' name, the soup today. So God bless you. Have a great week, successful week in Jesus' name. Amen.